I want to return to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. Now go ahead and read verse 29, 30, and 31, because that's what I wanted to speak on. That no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That, according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Spoke last week about no flesh glorying in his presence. It's still true today. Spoke last week of it is of him that ye are in Christ Jesus. If you are in Christ Jesus, it is of him. And that is speaking of salvation, that is speaking of regeneration, that is speaking of conversion. Actually, and I like the word, Walter and I talked after service, there comes a time when you are placed in Christ Jesus. I like that word. I do. I use put. Place sounds classier. Well, no, it's our place. It is the place that we have been chosen to. We were beggars. We were on the dunghill. But he chose, and then he actually does to place us with kings. And guess what? We get to stay there. I'm not going back to the dunghill. Why? Because he won't let me. It's not, I don't want to go back. I don't. But he's not going to let me go back to the dunghill, because he raised me off of that dunghill to place me, to sit me with kings. And that's where the child of God is once he places us in Christ of him. And then it says, who of God is made unto us. I spoke a little bit about that. The us is who this book is addressed to, who this letter is addressed to, the saints in Corinth. Brethren, those which are called, those who know their calling. That's who Paul's writing to. That's who this concerns. That's the us. This is not the world. There is that distinction, that separation that God makes, and that we are to recognize and to give thanks for. And that word made means to become, to begin to be. I like that. Now, I want to be perfectly clear. When Paul wrote this, he's not saying that Christ was created in any way. No, he's saying he was made unto us. Christ is wisdom. Christ is righteousness. Christ is sanctification. Christ is redemption. When we didn't know it. Long before we ever knew it. Long before we were ever born. Before the world was ever made. Because the first thing it says, Paul wrote in here, it said he has made unto us wisdom. If you want to know a little bit more about this, you can read Proverbs chapter 8. It's all throughout there. You will find in Proverbs chapter 8 one thing in particular that should be known by every child of God. Wisdom is a person. Wisdom is a person. It's not a thing. It's a person in this book. And that person is Jesus Christ, our Lord. There's a few things it says in there in Proverbs 8 I was going to bring up. And it does say, his mouth speaks truth. His words are righteousness, is the way it puts it. It says his words are plain to him that understandeth. And they are right to them that find knowledge. Also it says of wisdom that the Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way before his works of old. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning or ever the earth was. That's Jesus Christ. That's Christ Jesus. Our Lord was wisdom before the foundation of the world. But now, when God places you in Christ, he is made unto you wisdom.
Right.
He always was wisdom. He always will be wisdom.
Yes.
And he is wisdom now, but we were too dead to know him. I almost said we were too dead to know it. No, it's too dead to know him. And he is wisdom personified. There's no question he can't answer. There's no answer he can't question. Because as a human, well, it says it here, verse 21. For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Greeks require a sign, the Jews require a sign and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block and unto the Greeks foolishness. In the wisdom of God, God chose by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. At one time in my life, personally, this is me personally, the preaching of Christ was to me foolishness. That's the category I fell in, Mason. The other category is religious. I didn't fall into that category. And thank God I don't fall into it now. But to me, the preaching of Christ was foolish. It was a fantasy. Who could believe such a story? I couldn't. Not at that time. I had my own thoughts. I had my own opinions. Everybody's got opinions. I considered my thoughts to be every bit as valid as what was written in this book. But one day I was shown, it was made manifest to me, that I was wrong. By the wisdom of this world, I didn't know this book. I didn't know this Christ. Oh, I had a Christ in my head. I had a Jesus in my head. But that didn't do me any good. And anybody who preached the truth, I thought they were a little odd. They don't want no truth. That's what I thought. I thought they were a little odd. Well, I found out they are a lot odd. I said it last week. I mentioned it. You know, the fellow wrote up around 1724, 1748, whatever it was. You know, Arminianism was an aberration. It ain't that way anymore. Right now, we are the aberration. The world is full of I. The world knows nothing of the wisdom of God. The world knows nothing of the power of God. Verse 24, but unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. It has been given unto us to know him who is wisdom. To the others, he's a stumbling block. The Christ that I preach now, that I try to preach now, the wisdom that I preach now, is right now, even in this world, a stumbling block to some and foolishness to others. But unto those which are called, he is the power of God, and he is the wisdom of God. And who maketh thee to differ? I still remember that guy saying that one time. He said, well, I wasn't too dumb to know a good thing when I see it. So I believe Christ. Well, most people are not too dumb to know a good thing when they see it. That's the key word. It is. That's the point. This book tells of those who are blinded. This book tells of those who are dead in trespasses and in sins. This book tells us of those that Christ is found of those who sought him not. God is found. Why? Because of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who is of God, is made unto us wisdom. To those who hold the wisdom of this world, science, knowledge falsely so called, it's foolishness. And to those who hold to a Christ they made up in their own imagination, even though they go to church every Sunday and they hear a God of their own imagination being preached, because why? They've got itching ears. And they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Why do they go to that place? That's where they want to go. That's what they want to hear. That's why they go there. And they will give money to it. They will build wonderful edifices. They will make some people rich. Because those people are saying what they want to hear. And that's where they'll go. And that's who they love. A God of their own imagination, and not the wisdom of God, not the power of God, not the God who places his people in Christ Jesus. Why is this so? Well, it pleased God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. I like the way Walter says it. God says, sends one sinner to tell another sinner, repent. I'm here to tell you we're all sinners. And I mean it. I am a sinner, saved by the grace of God. And by the grace of God, I mean that of him, I am in Christ Jesus and only of him. And he has made Christ Jesus unto me, it's personal, wisdom. To where I know him, the power of God. I know him, the wisdom of God. Right now, in this life, we are given this blessing. The life that we now have by the faith of the Son of God, that believing of him has been given to us. And we are able to see that Jesus Christ is the wisdom of God. And why is that? Because it pleased God. He did it. And he does all his pleasure. Christ Jesus is made unto us the wisdom of God. It says he has made unto us righteousness. Righteousness is necessary because God requires it. Whenever I think of righteousness, I have a tendency, as most people do, I think, to think of it as being sinless. To think of it as not doing bad things. And that's what the world thinks of sinless, or being free from sin. You don't do bad things anymore. Well, it's true, there are a lot of things I should not do. But when it says here, Christ is made unto us righteousness, it's more than being what the world thinks of as sinless. I can't comprehend what it actually means or how it actually happens to where not only everything I don't do the bad things, but how in the world can everything you do be right? The right thing. How can I love God with all my heart, all my soul, and all my strength? Well, the answer is I can't. Because it's not only what I don't do, I have to do the right thing. That's what God requires.
Yeah.
Not just to not do the bad things, you have to do the right things. Yeah. The righteous things. And Isaiah said it plainly, all of my righteousness are filthy rags. My best deeds. But I have been given the righteousness of God, which is in Christ. He has been made unto me righteousness. And I'm not even going to talk about loving my neighbor as myself, because that, you know, that's why I have locks on my doors.
Yeah.
If I loved my neighbor as myself, I wouldn't lock my doors.
That's right.
And I wouldn't use those little chains either, you know.
Yeah,
but I don't. But God demands righteousness. God demands holiness. God demands. But God also provides. We have been given by God the very righteousness of Christ, who did do everything he was supposed to do, who did keep the law perfectly, who did love the Lord, the God, with all his heart, all his mind, all his soul, all his strength, and all the time. If I could do it for a minute, I'd be happy sometimes.
Yeah.
He did it all the time, and he loved his neighbor as himself. I can't do any of it. And that's where he boiled all the Ten Commandments down to those two. Christ did all this and more, and I can't even come close. 2 Corinthians says chapter 5, verse 21, for he, speaking of God, hath made him to be sin, speaking of Christ, for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. In him. In him. How? We're placed in him by God. And by God, Christ is made unto us righteousness. I am righteous in Christ Jesus. And if God has placed you in Christ Jesus, you are righteous in Christ Jesus, because you have been given the righteousness of God in him. And he says he has made unto us sanctification. Well, that word translates separation, purification. I like that. Christ Jesus is made unto us by God. He has made us separate. He has purified his people. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 13 says, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Sanctification, and there are all kind of things running around about that. There are those who preach sanctification as something you do. Yeah. That's wrong. That's wrong. Wrong. They're confusing sanctification with mortification. At best. Put it that way, at best. Sometimes they think they are purifying themselves. Mm-hmm. And they preach it. I've heard it. Sanctification is not an act by man, nor is it of man at all. It is a gift from God. Here in this context, Paul is showing us what Christ has made unto us. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. In him I am sanctified. In him I am separated. We talk about it. The difference where it's written. Christ said, I came to set at variance. I came. I brought a sword to make a division. And sometimes it'll break up a family. For those, your enemies are those of your own household. But in him, those who have been placed in Christ Jesus by God, those are pure in him. Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Washed by him, we are whiter than snow. Because God put us in him, placed us in him. You may not feel it, but it's so. Sometimes you might not even believe it, but if he's cleansed you, you're clean. The flesh hasn't gone anywhere. The flesh is still here. It's still right here, right in me, and I hope I didn't hit that microphone too hard. This is still flesh, but in him are ye sanctified. Why? Because he is our sanctification. He is our separation. He is. Christ is made unto us. He's the one. He's it all. And we are purified in him, and only in him. He is made to us sanctification. In him we are separated, we are purified, we are holy. Because he is our sanctification. And he's made unto us redemption. Christ Jesus is our redemption. I can go on that all day. Because that redemption, just like this sanctification, just like this wisdom, but that redemption is complete. It's perfect. And this, well, he bore in his body on the tree our sins. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. He bore our iniquities, our sins, our transgressions. Was he stricken? And he bore them deliberately. He bore them purposefully. He bore them completely. And he bore them personally. He is our redemption. Just as he is our sanctification. Just as he is our righteousness. And just as he is our wisdom. He is wisdom. And he is our redemption. He was made a curse for us. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. The wisdom of God was made a curse. The righteousness of God was made a curse. The sanctification of God was made a curse for us. Our salvation, our redemption, is in a person. The world has this crazy idea, and I had it myself, that my redemption, even though I didn't know the term, but my redemption depended upon me. Something I would have to do. I didn't know he did it 2,000 years ago. I didn't know that it was done. Finished, past tense, complete. And that he is our redemption. But God, of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. And not only is he made that unto us, we are made to know him. What a blessing. We are purchased and owned by the one who shed his blood for us. He's our redemption. He's the one who bought us, and that our being bought is our redemption. He does what he wants with his own. He does what he pleases with his own. And it pleased God to bruise him to redeem us. His redemption is made known to us as already perfect and complete after he is made unto us. Redemption. All four of these words are nouns. A noun can be a person, place, or thing. In this case, it's a person. It's not a place and it's not a thing. It's a person. It's a Christ who is made unto us. It is the Christ who is made unto us. It is Jesus Christ who is made unto us. It is this same Jesus whom they saw go up into the clouds. That same Jesus is coming again. That same Jesus is made unto us. This whole book is about a person that we have here. None of these are actions. It's a person. And he, by God, is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. And we know this because it has been given to us to know. he has been pleased to reveal himself to us. What? By the foolishness of preaching. By the proclaiming of his holy person. Now, what does this all mean? Well, I got it in the form of a question. How glorious is the free grace of God? How wonderful is the gift of his Son to his people right now? Right here, right now. Don't worry about the future. That's just as certain as the past. But right now, do you know him? Do you love him? Do you, to some degree, comprehend him? His words are plain to him that understandeth. And understanding comes from him. I mean, why do you think we call this eternal salvation? Why do you think we say he is our salvation? Because this right here, when I read this, I thought of this. If God be for you, who can be against you? He is made unto Christ unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. And his gifts are perfect. Christ is the gift of God to his people. We were chosen in him. We were given to him. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. But in the blessings of God, because it pleased God, Christ has been given to us right here, right now. This is the grace of God in action. This is who is given to those whom he foreknew, predestinated, called, justified, and glorified. From Romans 8. This is who is given to those who love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. This Christ who is wisdom, this Christ who is righteousness, this Christ who is sanctification, and this Christ who is redemption is given to his people right now. That ought to make you happy. That's a blessing. It's a privilege. And it pleased God to do it for his people. That, for this purpose, according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. There's nothing else to boast in. There's nothing else. Any glorying there is to be in him. Paul knew men. He was one. But what does he keep right? Don't glory. Don't glory in your flesh. Glory in him. Glory in the one who saves his people from their sins, just like he said he was going to. Glory in him whose people are willing in the day of his power. We glory in him. Why? He is the King of glory. But our nature wants to take credit for everything. That's why the warning. Even after all these wonderful things, Paul writes right after it, this is why we glory in the Lord. He's done everything. He chose us. He calls us. He reveals himself to us by the foolishness of preaching. Not the preaching of foolishness. And we preach Christ crucified to the Jews, a stumbling block, and to the Greeks, foolishness, still until this day. Man has not changed. Other than evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. I'm not sure you can really put that in the good column. No. It's a prophecy and it's coming true and it's surrounding us today. Terrible. Where those who want to hear the sovereign grace of God, the sovereign Christ who saves his people from their sins, we're just handfuls. It used to be preached all across this land. It ain't anymore. Like I said, we're the aberration. I want to preach salvation is of the Lord. That's what Paul wrote here. Salvation is of the Lord. Of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Nowhere else. We will do our best to fight it. We're flesh. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus. There is a blessing that goes with that the world has no comprehension of. I had no comprehension of it. You had no comprehension of it. And you never do. No one ever does until he places you in Christ. And that's when it starts. For us. For him it started from the beginning. But that's where it starts for us. And whatever he has done, he is doing. And whatever he's doing, he shall continue to do. So if Christ is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, guess what? I am God, I change not. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I believe in an eternal salvation. Why? Because I believe him who is my eternal salvation. Heavenly Father, we are thankful again for this time, this place. Thank you most of all, Lord, for your Son, who you gave, who you made a curse for us, whom you killed for our sin, our transgression, and our iniquities, and laid them on him and forgave us because of him and in him. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.